praise.
Oh, every praise is to our God. Every word of worship in one accord. Every praise. Every praise is to our God. In one accord,
every praise
is to our God. Sing it again. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship in one accord.
Every praise
is to our God. Word of worship in one accord. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory hallelujah is to our God.
Every praise
is to our God. To our God, glory, hallelujah, is to our God.
Every praise
is to our God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because of who you are, I give glory. Because of who you are, I give. Of who? worship you because of who Jehovah Jireh.
Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We praise you. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. I do want to make you aware of a few things by way of announcement, upcoming events. As was mentioned earlier, Investing in Futures Conference happening tomorrow night and Friday night at Apostolic Sanctuary of the Quad Cities over Moline, Silva's area. And if you have an opportunity to go, it's about a two-hour drive, but if you have an opportunity to go, I believe the night services are open. And we have some few teachers here that are going for the whole conference. And so we're praying God's blessing upon them at that conference, knowing that it's going to be a great time for them, and looking forward to them coming back and being renewed, encouraged, strengthened, all that good stuff. And so I just want to let you know that is going in Saturday at, is it 4 o'clock? Did we set that time? 4 o'clock down at, is it at the police station itself? The Sandwich Police Station block party for the kids, basically in the area. And it's a time where we're going to invite them to the back-to-school bash, but also interact with them. We'll have the bounce house. They'll have some grill and hamburgers, hot dogs, some other stuff. Sister Rose is kind of taking charge and doing that. And so she's scheduled, got with the police department. And so we're going to support her. If she comes to you for help, please, if you have opportunity to help her, please do so. And that way we all can get involved and have a good time. And that is happening Saturday at 4 p.m. And then regular scheduled services on Sunday, two sessions on Sunday morning, then Revival by Design on Sunday night. So then other stuff coming up. It's there on the calendar letting you know what's happening for the month of August. A week from tonight is our Back to School Bash. So next Wednesday night, the 23rd, is our Back to School Bash. We do this right as the kids go back to school. Kind of, there's some kids that we do kind of lose over the summer. And so this is kind of a time where we try to reach out to them to get them coming back to church. And so we have a good time together. That's happening a week from tonight. The Back to School Bash, and so we will give away our whole midweek service to that, and we're looking forward to that together with everybody else. We're continuing in our study of Into His Marvelous Light, and tonight is the what I'm calling part three in the conclusion. We have, in the course of this study, talked about, and we're going to see it here in just a moment, we've talked about the different aspects of the Bible in how it relates to salvation. We've talked about the first thing that we went to, the area of study, was the Gospels. We covered the words and the works of Jesus Christ. What did Jesus have to say about salvation? And how we're to look at the words of Christ and compare those words with the other words in the Bible and understand that it is truth, that it is for our understanding concerning salvation. And then last week, we covered the Acts of the Apostles. We went in the book of Acts. We went to primarily Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19. We showed where the Jews, the Samaritans, the Gentiles, and even the disciples of John, their experience, if you will. We talked about the need for believing. Certainly, it was there. The need for repentance, baptism in His name, and the infilling of His Spirit. And then tonight we're going to cover the epistles. These are the letters. Obviously, we're not covering all the epistles. We're just taking a few excerpts from the epistles where the different apostles that were there for the book of Acts revival had to say further concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what this really does, it kind of brings it all to a decision. Okay? Understanding this is a Bible study on salvation. This is one that I hope after teaching this that you will feel comfortable in teaching it to someone else. I have ordered a lot of these Bible studies are in a little booklet form. And so what we're going to do, and I'll probably say this again towards the end. Anybody that wants one, I'll give you it free of charge. It's about $2 a piece, but the church will incur the expense. That's not, we can, $2 to save a soul, fine with me. Church will incur the expense. I don't mean to put a price tag. That's not what I'm saying. But it's very minimal in comparison to the information and the opportunity that affords us. So the first one, if you want it, I'll give it to you free of charge. But if you want a second one, you got to bring the first one back to me filled out. Does that make sense? So I know either you've done it yourself, and that's fine. You can go through it yourself and check everything off, just kind of like we've done here in the Bible study. And that's fine. I'll even give you another one if you do that. Or better yet, if you teach it to someone or maybe sit down with someone and say, hey, let's study this together. And you go through and you bring it back to me filled out, I'll give you another one. And as long as you keep bringing it back to me, I'll keep giving you more. That make sense? And so this is the whole point. It's not only to, once again, solidify what we believe, what we teach as being essential to salvation, but so that we would be more comfortable to give an answer for the hope that is in us, as the Bible says. That we would be more comfortable in expressing why we believe these things are essential to one's salvation. Why we call ourselves apostolic. Why we believe in Pentecost and what Pentecost has said. And again, the study itself is not a deep dive into what it means to be apostolic, what it means to be Pentecostal. It's essentially a simple Bible study dealing with salvation. What the Bible reveals as being salvation. So let's pick up where we left off last week. Last week, we studied the Acts of the Apostles, revealing the apostles preached the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We understand that in Acts chapter 2, Peter preached Jesus. Acts chapter 8, Philip went down to Samaria, and he preached Jesus unto them. Acts chapter 10, Peter went to the house of Cornelius, and he preached Jesus. Acts 19, Paul, at the disciples that were disciples of John at Ephesus, he told them, listen, you're to believe what Jesus said, and this is what Jesus said. And so we find that in all cases that it is the preaching of Jesus. That is the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he came, was died for our sins, was buried, and rose again, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the good news. And then we understand that there is a response. Believing in the message of Jesus Christ brought about responses. Repentance, baptism in his name, and receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. In chapters 2, 10, and 19, the scripture specifically states the gift of the Holy Ghost was accompanied by the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Again, I want to reiterate, we went over this last week. Acts chapter 8, read it. It does not specifically state, while not specifically stating that the believer spoke in other tongues, reveals that there is undeniable evidence for which Simon offered to pay money that he could lay hands on others that they would receive this Holy Ghost. So it only makes sense that in Acts chapter 8, the same thing that happened in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 10, and Acts chapter 19 also happened in Acts chapter 8, though the Bible does not specifically say it. And I have no problem addressing that. But we do understand, and if you read Acts chapter 8, it is very plain that there is undeniable evidence by which or for which Simon offers money that by laying his hands on people, they would receive the Holy Ghost. It's there. You can read it for yourself. So that's where we left off. The Acts of the Apostles reveal you must believe in Jesus Christ. That belief, there's a response to that belief, to that preaching of the gospel, and the response is that we are to repent, be baptized in his name for the remission of sins, and we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And in the Bible, Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19, it does specifically state that they knew they had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost because they spoke with other tongues. All right? So now moving from that, let's go into the epistles. Now here we're really going to talk about the importance of obeying the gospel. This third part of this Bible study is really bringing it to that point of decision. Where if I am teaching this Bible study to someone, they have to make a determination. Am I going to just go based upon what I've heard others tell me? Am I going to go based upon what I've been maybe brought up in my whole life? Or am I going to look at the Word of God and objectively allow the Word of God to tell me and reveal to me what salvation is and how I am a part of the plan of salvation? And so it kind of brings it to a head where somebody understands that there is, when we're talking about eternity and we're talking about one salvation, it's not trivial. It's eternal. It's forever. It is something that is not to be trifled with. It is something that I should not leave up to someone's interpretation. Say with me. It's not something that I should leave up to my tradition or my upbringing or what others have said. I should go to the Word of God and allow the Word of God to tell me, because it is the Word of God, the Bible says, that will judge me. And so, let's start. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. I want to go back. Apostle Peter, writing in 1 Peter, says, seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. So in other words, if I'm going to purify my soul, it has to be in obedience. Obedience in truth. And then it goes further on to say that we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. So we are born again essentially by our obeying the truth of the word of God. I am not born again by what man says or man's opinion or someone else's interpretation of the word of God. I am born again by obeying the truth. So it doesn't matter if someone tells me that I am born again based upon their interpretation of the scriptures. If I have not obeyed what it means to be born again according to the word of God, what they have to say is not what's going to judge me. The word of God is going to judge me. And I am accountable not for obeying them. I am accountable for obeying the word of God. I am accountable for obeying truth. I am not born again of corruptible seed. I am not born again by what man says or obedience to what man says. I am born again by obedience to the word of God. And so it's a simple question. We are born again, not by obedience to man, but by obedience to the word of God. I am born again by obedience to the word of God. I purify my soul by obeying the truth of the word of God. I am born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. And it is by the word of God. It does not matter what man may say. If it does not align with the word of God is the ultimate judge. Now we take them into some scriptures that are not for the faint of heart, because they have to deal with me obeying or not obeying the word of God. It has to deal with me not living according to what I think or what others might say or what I've been taught before. It has to do with my obedience to the gospel. Do I obey the gospel of Jesus? Is my response to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the good tidings, is my response in accordance with the word of truth? Is my response in accordance with the word of God? Because look at this. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on all them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Now, those are some sobering words. Those are words which should, if I'm really concerned about my eternity and I'm really concerned about making my calling and election sure, and I'm really concerned with really knowing for myself, not based upon somebody else's opinion, but I'm really concerned with knowing what it takes for me to be saved. What do I do to obey? Because if I obey not the gospel, if I am not obedient in faith, and I do not obey according to the word of God, then I am in danger of being those that Jesus and his mighty angels come back and in flaming fire take vengeance upon. Now again, I'm not trying to scare people into relationship with God. What I'm trying to make them to understand is the severity of their decisions. And I've heard it said, and you've probably heard it said before. Well, what about this? What about, I've had family members and loved ones who didn't believe this way. They didn't believe that all this was essential for someone being saved. So what about them? Are they in heaven or are they in hell? Well, I'm not God. I don't make those decisions. He's sovereign. But catch this. What they did or did not obey has nothing to do with what you do or do not obey. And me accepting or rejecting has nothing to do with them being accepted or rejected. I am accountable unto God. I am not accountable to you, and you are not accountable to me. I am not accountable for what granddaddy did or what daddy did. I'm accountable for me. And so I cannot reach back into the past and say, well, I knew so-and-so was a good man, and I knew it. I'm sure they're in heaven. Well, you may be sure they're in heaven, but I don't know everything that they knew or all the revelation that they had. But this I do know, it has been revealed according to the word of God. And now it is incumbent upon you to make a decision. Will you obey the gospel? Because if not, then you are making yourself susceptible to being those. I know that's not popular. But let's answer the question. The Lord and his mighty angels will, in flaming fire, take vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel. They obey not the gospel. So yes, it kind of brings me to a decision point. If the word of God reveals, if I can look according to the words of Christ and according to what he said, and I can look at the Acts of the Apostles and I can understand that repentance, baptism in his name, and the infilling of his spirit is essential to one's salvation and being born again, and that is faith obedience. That is me in obedience, responding in faith so that I repent of my sins, that I am baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of those sins, and I will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's a promise. But it takes my obedience. I've got to obey the gospel. And if I obey not the gospel, then I am in danger of the Lord Jesus Christ and his mighty angels in flaming fire coming back and taking vengeance upon me. Because I am accountable for what I do. And I am accountable for whether or not I obey the word of God. Let's look at Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Apostle Paul writing to those at Galatia, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now pay attention. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Well, let's think back real quick. Let's make sure we understand what this gospel is that the Apostle Paul is talking about when he's writing to the church at Galatia. Do you think that the Apostle Paul would preach another gospel to the disciples of John and then another gospel to the church at Galatia? No. So it would only stand to reason that the gospel which the Apostle Paul preached, and we can back this up according to the word of God, is repentance, baptism in his name, and the infilling of his spirit. So this gospel, the Apostle Paul is writing the church at Galatians saying, I'm surprised how quickly you've been removed. You've started following after another gospel. You've started believing something else other than what was preached unto you. You started obeying other things. First thing we need to understand is there is only one gospel. There is only one gospel. We are not universalists. We do not believe that all roads lead to one. We believe that there is one, and he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man come to the Father but by him. And we also believe that that man, Jesus Christ, opened their understanding in Luke 24 when he told them what they were to preach concerning repentance and remission of sins in his name. And we also believe that those apostles did just that in preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified. And then telling the people that their response to that in faith should be that they repent, are baptized in his name, and would receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's the gospel. That's what we understand. That's what's able to save our souls. That's what we hold on to. And that's what we have to be careful never to compromise or back away from. There are some open-handed issues. There are some things that we can have dialogue and we can discuss. But when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is not up for your interpretation. It is not up for how you feel about it. It is not up to whatever or whomever says something else. It is only up to the Word of God and what it reveals to save our soul. And so, yes, I do get passionate about it. And yes, I refuse to back away. I will stand fast. And I will teach and I will preach that I believe it is essential that someone repent of their sins, are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of those sins, and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And by the book of Acts and the Word of God, how we understand and see that to come about, Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 19, is they spake with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's answer the question. Blank is anyone or anything that would preach another gospel than what the Word of God reveals. Accursed. Now, please understand this, because you have to be careful. Because there are good-hearted people who have good motives, who are believing that they are walking in the light of Revelation. They believe that their books and their writings are sacred and divine. They believe that their books are inspired of God. They believe. And it just amazes me. They believe, though it is in direct defiance to the very Word of God, that angels came and delivered unto them another gospel. But here's what they say, many of them, and here's the way they try to get around this kind of scripture, is they say, well, it's an addition to. It is further revelation of. Trust me, I've been in those conversations. I know the way they come across, because that's the only loophole they try to make. Because if you truly understand that there can be no other gospel, that what was revealed to the apostles is all we need to make heaven our home, there is no need for another gospel. There is no need for further revelation. And the book of Revelation that I read says that if you add things to it, or if you take things from it. Now, I'm all about reading good, godly stuff that endeavors to lead us and guide us in the ways that are right and righteousness. But when it comes to doctrinal issues, and when it comes to what it takes to be saved, and when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ, I refuse to give quarter. I refuse to allow others to teach me or try to get me to believe some other way other than what the Word of God says. It's the Word of God. I will not be judged by popular opinion. I will not be judged by Christianity. I will be judged by the Word of God. And so I better make sure. I better make sure that I am reading and I understand, and it is revealed to me what it takes to make heaven my home, to be saved. And I don't want to give heed to seducing doctrines, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I don't want to be led away by the sleight of men. I don't want to go after rudiments of this world, traditions of men. I want to be after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him. Let me just say it. I realize the audience that I have, so I'm not going to offend anybody. If I'm complete in Christ, I don't need the Quran. If I'm complete in Christ, I don't need the Book of Mormon. If I'm complete in Christ, I don't need another testament. It's here. It's here in the Word of God. It amazes me. I was thinking the other day as I was reading a book. I know I say that a lot. But I was reading a book, and it was about, it's called American Crucifixion. It's about Joseph Smith, the founder of what is called the Mormon religion. And I thought to myself, the whole state of Utah, the whole state. And when you think about it, do you realize that his own people are the ones that turned upon him? Because his views were so, he became a heretic to his own people. But yet they have this, and I don't know, have you ever seen a Mormon temple? You ever been out of Salt Lake City? You ever been? I've been out west and seen some of them on the west coast. This monstrosity of a building come up and the angel Moroni on the top. And I think to myself, my God. And I grew up and went to school with some good friends of mine. Die hard. And I think to myself, there's only one gospel. There's only one gospel. Why stray? Why believe something else? Why go another direction? Why not just stay in the Word? And I've sat down before and I've had them into my home and I've said, listen, we're going to talk, we're going to have a good time, but you need to understand something. Whenever you try to go outside of this book, I will not follow you. Whenever you try to bring up, whenever you try to open your book and bring, I said, we're not going to go there. I said, if you'll agree that we'll stay right here within this Word, we'll talk all day. I said, but the moment you try to go outside the Word, I will not follow you and we will not have discussion or dialogue. I don't believe that. I believe this. James 1, 21 through 24. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. James says you got to lay apart filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and you got to receive with meekness the engrafted word of God. This is why it is so difficult for some people. Let me just say this, because they refuse to be meek. They refuse to maybe consider, maybe I don't have it all right. They refuse to be meek enough to consider that what they've been taught and what they've basically allowed themselves to believe as being all that was necessary for so long, maybe there's more. So they won't receive with meekness the engrafted word. They won't look at it objectively and say, maybe there's more for me. Because if they do, if they will be meek, guess what? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If they truly are meek and they allow the word of God, it will reveal. It will lead and guide them into truth. We are to blank with blank, the engrafted word of God, which is able to save our souls. Receive with meekness. Receive with meekness. Now here's the thing. So what happens? What happens when individuals who used to believe this way, they used to ascribe to what we believe is being essential, and they walk away and they believe something else, they believe something less. They believe, well, I don't really think that all that is essential. Well, this is again, I can't answer that. I am not God. I don't place anybody in heaven or anybody in hell. He is sovereign. But for me, God forbid that I ever compromise on this word. God forbid that I ever look at it and start to consider something less. Help me receive with meekness the engrafted word of God. Because that's what's going to save my soul. So there's some important questions that we have to ask. This is kind of the conclusion, the wrap-up of the study. Here's some important questions. Questions that we truly have to have an answer for. We truly have to make a declaration one way or the other. The Word of God will bring you to that crossroad. It will bring you to that place where you have to make a decision. Where you have to make a choice whether you believe or you don't believe. Do you believe the Word of God is true and will judge us? Yes. Yes, I believe the Word of God is true. I believe it is inerrant. It is without error. I believe the Word of God is true, and I believe that the Word will judge us. Do you believe the Word of God reveals that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior? Yes, I do believe the Word of God reveals Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I believe that. Do you believe the Word of God reveals those who believe will respond in obedience? Well, see, now it's starting to, first two are pretty easy. I believe the Word of God is true. Well, do you believe that the Word of God reveals that people who believe respond in obedience? Uh-oh. Because now it's me. Now it's time for me to start, have I obeyed the gospel according to the Word of God? Do I truly believe that if I believe, there's a response in obedience? Or do I just say, or do I just believe, well, all you have to do is just believe? That's a big question for some people. There are some religions out there that teach only thing you have to have is faith. You just have to believe. But do I believe that the Word of God reveals those who truly believe respond in obedience? That's an important question. Do you believe the Word of God reveals it is necessary to repent and turn to God? Oh, okay, so now here there's more. If I believe, if I can say yes to the preceding question, if I can say yes, that I believe the Word of God reveals that those who believe respond in obedience, then do I believe that it is necessary, that one of the responses essential to my believing is that I repent and turn to God? Do I believe that? Yes or no? Do you believe the Word of God reveals that water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ is essential to salvation? Do I believe that? Because guess what? There are even religions that used to believe that as essential that no longer believe that it's essential. There are those that in their denomination, they used to teach that baptism was essential. And now they no longer teach that. So do I believe that? Do I truly believe according to the Word of God that it reveals that it is essential to salvation for one to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? Do I believe that? Do you believe the Word of God reveals the baptism of the Holy Ghost is for all who believe, and there is supernatural evidence of Spirit giving utterance through unknown tongues? Do I believe that? But let me ask you this. Sometimes maybe we pose it, or should pose it a little bit differently. Because our human nature sometimes is so, for some reason, I guess it's just who we are and our makeup, but we're so opposed to requirements. I got it required, I'm required. Maybe it's better posed this way. Do you believe it's for you? Do you believe it's for you? Do you believe the promise is for you?
Because if I can believe the promise is for me, why would I not want it? Why am I trying to take it to,
it's essential or not essential?
I believe according to the Word of God, it is essential. I believe it's part of the new birth experience. But why would you not want it? Do you believe the promise is for you? If you believe the promise is for you, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. If you believe that promise is for you, then why in the world would I ever shy away from seeking? Why in the world would I not be doing everything? Say, Lord, help my faith. Lord, help me that I respond in obedience, that I allow you to do what you need to do. It is your spirit that gives the others, the Bible tells me. It is not work. It's not something that I do. It is something that I allow you to do through me and in me according to obedience and faith. And so in obedience, I'll come and I'll lift my hands and I'll do whatever. And this is not always the case, and please understand, this is an isolated experience that God revealed unto me. And I was working with a lady in an altar one time, and as I was praying, I knew she was seeking the Holy Ghost, and her name was Ann. And I got down and began to pray with Ann, and I could tell, man, she was there, and she was pressing, and you could just feel it. There was such a desire and such an urgency. I told her, I said, Ann, I said, you don't have to stop praying, but please just listen to me. I said, the Bible tells us, and I believe that you believe that the power of the Holy Ghost, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you will speak in other tongues. I said, but here's something James tells us, that the tongue is the most unruly member of our body. I said, it doesn't make sense to me that I would be willing in faith and obedience to yield the most unruly member of my body if I was not also willing to yield all my other members. And I began to minister in the Holy Ghost, and I said, you see, what's happening right now is your flesh telling you you don't really have to dance. That's not a prerequisite. You don't have to raise your voice. That's not a prerequisite. I said, so all of these questions are going over in your mind, and I said, it's stopping you. I said, it only makes sense that when you're willing to yield everything else, you'll yield the tongue. In a matter of moments, she began to shake, and she began to dance, and she began to wave her hands, and she began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave her utterance. It doesn't happen that way for everybody. I understand. I'm not saying that's a requirement for everybody. But what I'm saying is that faith has a response. And faith says, I'm near my time, but just stay with me for just a moment. Faith says that if the same Spirit which spoke the world into existence, the same Spirit that tells the number of the stars and calls them all by name, that same Spirit, why in the world would I think that same Spirit would inhabit my body, my vessel, without there being some supernatural evidence? And can I not believe that same Spirit which spoke it all into existence is the same Spirit which can take over the most unruly member of my body? And if I yield, that same Spirit can speak through me? Closing, you can stand. The study has shed light upon what the Word of God reveals concerning salvation. And you have not experienced all these elements of salvation, pray and consider walking into more of His marvelous light. Ask God to help you lead others into His marvelous light, and consider teaching this Bible study with others so they too may see into His marvelous light. Well, I've done this, and there's more. And guess what? Salvation is the beginning. It's a new birth. Being born again. There's more. There's more for you, and there's more for me. But I want to make sure that I'm obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ according to his word. And I believe that his word reveals I must repent, be baptized in his name, and filled with his spirit. And the supernatural evidence of spirit infilling according to the word of God, Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 19, speak with other tongues. Lord Jesus, we love you. I thank you for your word, God. And I know, God, as we stand here, God, we are all apostolics, God, in doctrine. We believe this word, Lord, and I pray, God, you would solidify in our spirit once again why we believe and why we teach, God, these things as being essential to one's salvation. I realize that save is a very elastic word, God. I understand the different elements, God. I'm learning more and more about what it means to be saved from the power of sin. Lord, I pray if there are any here tonight who still have not yielded to and obeyed the gospel in its entirety, have not yielded themselves, God, and all that you have for them, Lord, I encourage them. I hope this study, God, will not in any way, shape, or form demean their walk and relationship thus far, but it would cause them to consider that maybe there's more. And they would long for that. All over this house, why don't we lift our hands? Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness, out of darkness, out of darkness, into His marvelous light.
Can we sing it once more?
Oh, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Sister Davis, for stepping in tonight. It was last minute. My wife got sick on the way home from work, and so she willingly obliged and said, yes, she'd be willing to do me. So thank you so much. That's right. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord tonight. You may go in the precious name of Jesus.